the story, and we can hope that this is the way reality right here is happening. You know, the humans are, you know, and they are sorry people in these days, and they are ruled by these mad psychopaths. Who are just mad for money and power and this and that, and they're not very good at all in protecting their people and running their countries successfully to make everyone happy and satisfied. And materialism rules, and it's all a mess. So what should happen then? Well, in the past, we hear that goddess Kali may appear and make a big war and kill off the miscreants, leaving the world a better place. And that sometimes then, of course, that may happen in the form of wars, disasters of different kinds, plagues, whatever. But as we also learn from the wise ones of the past, in this time and age, that would mean killing off quite a mass of people. So we have then, this is in our story, we have then Chaitanya Nityananda, or the followers of Chaitanya Nityananda, and the divine, the angels, and the real, you know, the ones up there looking at how the humans are behaving and thinking what to do. So what happens then? What the conclusion is? And I mean, this could happen from the other world station. You know, there are some very powerful people there. Or the aliens, as the humans call them, just vaguely aware that they may be there. Some more, you know, superior to the humans. But some humans think that's definitely not possible. We are the supreme living beings in this entire cosmos. So we show the kind of comical absurdity of that. The humans are standing down there. And on the other side, above there, we have discussions, you know, what to do. And someone comes up with a real smart idea. So what happens then is we have the different conspiracies on the globalists there and the AI, Silicon Valley futurists with their secret islands and plans to rule the world, the network. Society controlled by them, of course. And we have the religious fanatics there and over there. And stupid leaders in different countries who are mainly just doing what the big ones tell them and are concerned about winning their elections and staying in their positions, because then they get good food and lots of money and fame and all that. So we describe this whole situation, and then we have this emperor, the emperor of the empire over there in the West, and he is not, we just make one a real Trump-ish person, because now I'm talking about Trump here. So then he appears, and at first he seems to be a, you know, man of the people. Now we're going to make our country great again, in the sense that many took it, make it good. But it appears that he, more and more, that he wants to make it very big and take over other countries and rule the world. And he's behind him there, you have these neocons, this hidden elite there, the bureaucracy and the rich ones and the, you know, sneaky power players. This whole completely corrupt crew, their oligarchy, and it's not democracy anymore, but they have a big sign there, the biggest democracy of the world, the greatest democracy of the world, and all that. So, and they are then threatened because they see that there are others who just don't want to play that game anymore. You know, and they say, you know, it's over with colonialism and all that. So they then, of course, do what they usually do. Find an evil enemy that we will have war against. That's good also for business, our military-industrial complex. You know, the guys over there, they're putting their word into it. And they have control over media, complete control, and everyone in that western part of the planet, they believe, they are fed with that media because, well, you know, the ones who make the media outlets and the sources and the technology that the people consume media through, the screens and all that, they are coming there from the West. They are owned by those, the very platforms of the cyberspace, you know, they're floating there in cyberspace. They're owned by those. They're like big continents there. So things are looking good, they think. But then this man, he goes completely bananas. He goes into Hitler times 10. And people just can't understand what's going on. And is he just some genius with a hidden plan we can't see, or is he completely mad? It's like they start comparing him to King Lear. And it's bewildering because he just calls in his, first of all, he puts his own family members in ruling positions. He seems to think of himself as a big Napoleon or something. Although there's another one already thinking himself like that in the old country of Napoleon. Anyway, so he's going off the rail, and he wants to make war against, you know, in this case, Iran, this old Persia. They're useless, and he doesn't know anything because he's looking at the world through his television set. And only on the channel, the news channel that it supports him and where his friends are running the show. So he, and then he watches Hollywood movies. So he doesn't get any briefing, or they try to give him that. You know, you have the big generals coming in from the Pentagon, whatever it's going to be called in our story, saying this is not a good idea, it won't work. And he doesn't care. I'm the president here. I'm the emperor. You do as I say. And then he is actually, many believe, controlled by another sly person in another small country who has some kind of blackmail on him. Maybe some videos or photographs of him having sex with little underage girls. I mean, it's really becoming a very strange and absurd and scary story, because he has this button that he can fire thousands of nuclear bombs with. So he's becoming strange, and we can really show it. I mean, he's like King Lear caricature or something. And behind, you know, in the back rooms, the others, they are discussing what to do here, you know. He's senile now, or something is going wrong, so they are just planning to get rid of him, because you can do that by law in certain situations. So, but what is really going on is that since he is so loud and always out there in media and making a complete crazy fool out of himself, the emperor of the empire of the world, then yeah, the others there in the West who have been very well programmed by the media controlled by that empire, at first they just go, well, you know, there's a little this, that way, but still they are the empire, they are the good ones, right? But then because he behaves like that, even stranger and stranger and crazier and crazier, and doing things that start to threaten the entire world economy, making millions of people starving, being no oil anymore, no artificial fertilizers. The whole world is shaking. And then people are starting to wake up. Look, this is not normal. He is crazy. And they start, you know, diplomats and other leaders, they come and they speak to the people around him and to the, you know, hey, you've got to stop this. You cannot have this man in charge, and this is a whole thing going on there. So in this way, what happens is that the illusion that this big empire has created, the cosmos, the world that they have created, that all the people there in the West live in, this bubble actually, of them being the, you know, the rulers of the world and the protectors of security and freedom and democracy and all of that, while something else is really going on. That bubble bursts. And people, they stop supporting all of that. They start waking up. And they rather join the others who have this initiative that they also get pushed into. You know, the Eastern countries there, which are very old cultures with lots of accumulated wisdom and completely different scene. They feel compelled to step in and calm things down and make things right. You know, we come into the scene, and now it's about our countries together develop a security that is security for everyone. Not that the madman over there will make all of us insecure. So they're like one after another just withdrawing, not in an inimical way from that Western Empire, but just saying bye-bye and minding their own business. And included in that is that they, of course, develop their security. They make sure that they have military power that can withstand whatever happens from, you know, the rest of the world. They're wise. They enormous experience of war from thousands and thousands of years back. And they have, you know, these little smart Chinese and Indians, and they sit there and they think and they discuss, and this is how we should do it. And for instance, there you have Iran, which then becomes a fortress. And when this madman then, and the people there behind him, and this sly one, the small country there, which wants to control the entire area in between, around where that Iran, Persia is, meaning the Middle East, then, you know, they spend 20, 30 years building these caves deep down in the granite mountains. Lots of them, secretly. And there are Chinese workers there, and there are all these different specially high security clearance workers. And they have like big cities under the down in those mountains that can withstand nuclear bombs, where they have factories down there that can construct and keep constructing missiles. So you have a fortress there which can defend itself and the whole eastern side, basically. And as this this Western persons try then to, you know, now we're going to show them, the stupid Easterners, and they're meeting a completely surprising resistance. And not attack, invasion, war, but defense. And they learned that from the Chinese, and they learned that from their old traditions. It's best to have a good defense. So they will find here that these countries, because they are cooperating and they are thinking security together, they become invincible for the others. So, and then we find out, and that was my idea here, that this was done from the world above, or whatever, the, you know, the angels and the, yeah, because they can also control the minds of the humans. So they are playing with the mind of that emperor to make him crazy, it's not so difficult to make him behave that way. King Lear-ish. Even in ways that smart and sensitive people can suspect maybe something extraordinary going on here. Because he's going crazy in such a Shakespearean way. So it's actually someone implementing, you know, producing that from a script from the other side, from the other world station. I mean, it could be a good little twist here. And I mean, it's like, it looks like that. I mean, it could really be like that because it's so. And the thing is that most people in the West especially, they don't even notice it. And the whole thing is over. It just didn't work with that war and everything. And that guy is just taken to some old age home or whatever, who was emperor, or is put in prison for his, and, you know, maybe one day they release that, those pictures or video of him having sex with underage girls, and, you know, something like that. And at the same time, there are these people, because now there is this wonderful network between people where they can share, learn from each other, and you can't hide things anymore. And there are these, you know, smart persons in this media, and if they are kicked out from the big ones controlled by the big one, the empire, and they will find other ways. So people start listening to them. And some of them are speaking about Dharma. Getting deeper there, it's about our consciousness. You have to think about, first of all, the fundamentals. If we want to solve the situation, we have to really solve it down there at the very foundation. And that's about our worldview. Who are we? What am I? What am I meant to do? Am I just meant to make money and get stuff to enjoy my senses with? Treating other people like stuff for my enjoyment and pleasure as well. Or is my purpose and meaning and way to reach happiness and satisfaction about something deeper? Living in harmony, living friendship, fairness, honesty, compassion, tolerance, love. And there are these voices coming up saying that this, you know, each one of us, if you sit there on your pub, say there's nothing I can do, it's all controlled by the bad ones anyway, just wait for dying. Then they will answer that, no, you're stupid. You can do, we can do a lot now. We have this wonderful internet, we can go out there, you can start your own channel just like they and I do. And people start doing that and sharing and waking up. And those voices come there more and more. old Hare Krishnas, old the you know, people and young and very smart. The Zoomers is gonna save us. So this, you know, new version of Beatles, you know, and all kinds of things start happening. But it's there, what was there, that could also actually be put in the story. It's interesting that, you know, what we experienced in the late 60s and the 70s, where there were good spiritual ideas behind many things. Of course, again, the Hare Krishna movement grew the right in the middle of the hippie culture. And we can, again, return to that and tell that story. And how the youngsters now, the Zoomers, they become interested in that and they learn from that. And it's not about nostalgic, you know, let's pretend to be hippies, but hey, something like that is needed now. And the old Hare Krishna movement, you know, it flourishes again. And now those who people thought were just the crazy Krishnas, they are professors in the universities and they are really smart persons, some of them. They're on their channels on YouTube and so on. So, and then that prediction, it happens, it proves to be true that now, you know, go out in the streets, sing and dance, and glorifying God, and God's creation, and Goddess. Chant the names of God. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya came to kill the demons within us rather than killing those people who behave demoniacally. Pretty good story, I think.